This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Saturday to Nova Scotia. What's happening, Kramer?
Happy Saturday, Nova Scotia. Hopefully there's not an obnoxious glare coming from this massive stack of tickets sitting next to me.
Oh, there is a big pile. We're going to be going through them all. And, of course, you're watching VSiN. Of course, good area, obviously, to advertise. Reaching people is easy. Reaching the right people is everything. And that's where Mission Media comes through. You can get started today advertising right here on VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. Live TV, top-ranked podcast, daily newsletters. Love the Bill 80 newsletter. Website traffic and 400 radio affiliates. I know, because they get mad if we use foul language. So there are definitely people out there definitely listening. Go to VSiN.com/advertise or advertising@VSiN.com. Joining us on the line, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, the one and only CJ Sullivan from the Bottom Line Bombs podcast. What's happening, CJ? Great hat.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, fellas. Yeah, well, it's just a little, it's a tip of the hat, if you will. We lost two legends. We lost two legends today. One, Terry Bors, Chicago Sports Talk legend from Bors and Bernstein, but also Uncle Floyd, Italian legend that Ryan Kramer might remember. He was on Local Access in New York and New Jersey. Uncle Floyd, he was a great comic. He did an Uncle Floyd show. I watch him every day as a child. And even then, you could tell he was an adult comic trapped doing a kid show. And you could tell. and that's what made it absolutely legendary. But he was an absolute legend. So
did he
tip of the cap to Uncle Floyd?
Did he use the piano? Was there a piano involved in his act?
Yep. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
All right. I know exactly who you're talking about. Oh, rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace, Vivo Vivano, great Italian-American from Paterson, New Jersey, anyway. And that and Terry Bors. So I'll tribute that. But I had to give you a tribute to that because I love that.
I actually bumped in right outside of our office in Eagle Rock, California, with a gentleman who noticed that it was during a Sunday, and I was watching games on my phone while I was taking care of some business. And he started chimed up a conversation. He was from Paterson, New Jersey. So
yes.
We've connected the loop.
Connected the loop. CJ, we got two games. Can we find some ladders for these conference championship games?
We certainly can, and it's good to be back, first of all. Last week, I was in the blue tent under the weather, had to do a thing, and it's a good thing I wasn't going to be here because I was going to give out a Keon Coleman ladder. I'm not going to take credit for it. I mean, obviously, I was being a team player. It wasn't mine. I was pushed into it, obviously.
Management made Sean you take the Keon Coleman ladder.
Right. Coaching staff
it was not your idea, although you were ironically filming a documentary. Yeah. Highlighting you putting together the Keon Coleman ladder, so that's unfortunate if that footage sees the light of day.
Yeah, but that was more me being a team player.
I would shoot the content
for the team and the organization, and I would call it lying, but I put on a good front for the company. But obviously, I did not want that disgrace of a Keon Coleman who is still on our roster.
It really, I mean. All-time fumbling of the bag. And I think CJ had the greatest take. It's like when you look at Brandon Bean's face when the owner cuts him off, he's like, oh, no.
CJ pointed out that, like, okay, he's probably been telling the owner the whole time, like, it's not my idea. I don't know about that. Classic middle management weasel.
Absolutely. He was whispering in the owner's ear, and Bean, you could tell, like, I don't think Pegula was lying when he said, hey, it's not on Bean. He was just being told the lies that the general manager told him.
He's just repeating Bean.
Just like any right.
Yeah, who's clearly playing stuff behind the scenes because he gets rid of McDermott and he gets promoted. That's someone who knows how to play the corporate ladder
absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely, and that's corporate America. It's not the guy who's good at his job. It's the guy that's good at keeping
the
job that wins.
Exactly. Nailed it. We're not climbing the corporate ladder. We're climbing the ladder, the stairway to heaven. Let's go, CJ.
Yes.
What do you got for the conference championship ladders?
There's a couple great ladders, and then I know Ryan, you've been all over these Denver Broncos. The numbers for all these Broncos are just through the roof and so juicy. You could literally just throw a dart on any of these Broncos. They're so great. But I want to go with a guy who exploded last week, Marvin Mims. He had 8 catches for 93 yards on all 8 targets and a touchdown. He is their deep threat. He's one of the true talents. Now I know. Pat Bryant did clear concussion protocol, which was amazing. Troy Franklin's still questionable. But once they went down, Mims went in there, and he exploded. Now, he's their outside threat, which is absolutely helps. It's kind of a natural fit for Stidham, to be honest with you. He averages 7.1 average depth per route. So this is exactly what we're looking for when we're looking for a ladder. And his number is still below – 40 yards is 2-1 on Marvin Mims. And when you go with Marvin Mims, you're not going to go with 20 to 30 yards anyway. You're going to go for it all. So I like Marvin Mims a lot here. I think they're going to give him I like his over rushing prop too, by the way. I'm sure they'll give him an end around, but his ladder numbers are pretty outrageous. 50 yards is 3-1, 60 yards is 5-1, 70 yards plus 760, 80 yards is plus 1220, 90 yards for Marvin Mims is 1860, and that's what we like to call just do what you did last week.
Yeah,
if you do what you did last week, that's plus 1860. And of course, we're going to beanstalk it. Let's go 100 yards, 27-1, 110, 38-1 for Marvin Mims.
Well, and CJ, we'll talk leaders in the next segment, but yep. I'm sure if you like Marvin Mims to get 90 or 100 yards, he led the divisional round, and someone said thanks to us. I don't remember giving out Marvin Mims 400-1, but I'm glad the guy credited us. I'll happily take credit for a bet I didn't place, but yeah, Marvin Mims having a big game. I like little Jordan Humphrey. I think you can make a case for both pretty easily.
I have too. Yep.
Yeah, and unrelated, but you mentioned Jack and the Beanstalk. I was diving in a little bit about, potentially that took place in real life down in Antarctica. That's where the Giants still live. So,
oh, okay.
If you're looking for real life beanstalks, maybe take one of those illegal flights over Antarctica.
All right, there you go. Nice.
More questions than answers, which, by the way, a lot of people want to see more questions than answers.
Yeah,
great segue. Ryan, that's a great segue for my second ladder. Because I want to go to the NFC Championship game, and we're going to go with a tight end with the Rams. Now, when you talk about more questions and answers, what is Sean McVay doing with his packages? Is it going to be a 13? Is it going to be the 11? Is it triple tight? Is it going to be 3 wides? Who knows with this guy? I mean, once they went with the triple tight, they started playing great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere in the playoffs, he went started going 3 wide, and they haven't looked great. Why? No one knows. I think a lot of it was maybe he wanted to see how many D-backs he could get for the Bears out there. It was kind of matchup blind. Now, when they played the Seattle the first game, they went with the 11 formation. Now, they didn't look great offensively, but they won the game. Now, the game they lost, the shootout, that was all 3 wide. I think it's going to be more of a combination. And I'm going to – obviously, you're throwing darts too. You don't know which tight end they're going to use. I like Tyler Higbee coming back off an injury. He's just started getting back. He's the one they trust more. And I think a lot of it, too, is who do they trust? And Stafford trusts him. McVay trusts him. I mean, his tight end numbers are outrageous. Tyler Higbee, just for 25 yards, is plus 186. Now, I'm going to go with receptions, though, as well, because obviously Puka, and you're competing with a lot of mouths to feed there. So let's just go with receptions. 3 catches is plus 231 for Tyler Higbee. 4 catches is plus 630. And then you go 5 catches is plus 1520 and all the way to the top. 6 catches for Tyler Higbee, who I think is the most reliable tight end. And if you look at the actual schematics and the alignment, it actually matches up best for Higbee, the way he runs his route as far as depth goes, out of the 3 tight ends the Rams throw out there. 6 catches is 27-1 for Tyler Higbee.
And if you remember, CJ, from the last Rams-Eagles playoff game last year, he had 7 for 54. So certainly playing in your angle of Stafford trusting him and him racking up a bunch of catches, you could definitely see.
I will say the Rams is an interesting nut to crack this week.
Yeah.
Very unclear. Yes.
Don't know what he's going to do. You honestly don't know what you're going to do. And even if he does do the tight end heavy, you don't know which tight end he's going to go to. So it's a double roll of the dice. But you know, like you said, there's two games. I trust Tyler Higbee. I think they're going to trust Tyler Higbee. And I think there's going to be a combination. There's no way he's just going to go three wide again.
And I like, especially I like catches over yards because I do think that's how you attack Seattle. Quick stuff in the intermediate.
Yeah, they're not great against the tight end and definitely a weakness. All right, CJ, one last ladder. Do you got a little step ladder for us?
Of course I got a step ladder for you. And to point on that, Sean, Seattle is sixth in the league. Sixth worst in the league in tight end yards, fourth worst in receptions, which is crazy. And Stafford underneath is one of the best. But of course, we got a step ladder, and you know it's going to be Jarrett Stidham related. I mean, how can we not? I mean, this is amazing. I don't think there's a Jarrett Stidham prop I'm not playing. It's absolutely insane. But his passing touchdown ladder is pretty juicy. Even if he doesn't have a great game, just the possibility of him getting passing touchdowns in the red zone is very high in Sean Payton's offense, especially how bad they are running the ball. Two touchdown passes is plus 259 for him. And for him to throw three touchdown passes is plus 1080, which is outrageous. They won't even allow four touchdowns because they know we're going to get down on it and we can break the bank.
I love it.
Circa's offering a over 1.5, which is fun. I got down on that.
Okay.
Similar number to what
he's all gave. We're all in on Stiddy this weekend, as Sean Payton likes to call him. And
I posted a couple highlight reels of him balling out in the preseason and in the regular season for the Raiders.
I think Kramer nailed it earlier. Like the reason the Pats were having success is because they played two of the worst offensive lines and they were at home. Things are going to change, I think, when they go on the road against the Broncos. When we return, more props, even maybe some weekend conference leaders. You want to stay tuned. I got a 65-1 Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack of the Money Kramer, my partner in picks, Ryan Ramone Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
You teased the 65-1 banger.
I did.
Should ask me. 100-1 banger coming up later in the segment.
I got 100-1 as well.
Oh, okay.
Kramer, we're drooling over bets, but you could be drooling over delicious chicken wings, courtesy of our good buddies over at Omaha Steaks. That's right. Right now, when you spend $129 over at Omaha Steaks, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Perfect. Order that now so you get them for the big game. Don't wait. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50%. You cannot beat this deal. Omaha Steaks, I've been eating this for 20 plus years. Love the stuff. OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. OmahaSteaks.com/VSIN. Hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line, man who probably loves a steak and a wing, the one and only CJ Sullivan. CJ, what do you got here prop wise? What's some more props for the big games?
In a wing, never together though. Come on,
two separate things.
Yeah, that's two separate meals, two separate. I mean, same day, but two separate certain, meals for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, let's go to that defense there. Denver's defense not as good as advertised, but they are great at sacking the quarterback and turning the ball over. In the two playoff games so far, Drake May has been sacked 10 times.
Wow.
He's been fumbled the ball 6 times.
That's insane.
Will Campbell, ever since returning from that injury, he's given up 3 of those sacks. 2 of them have been end-around strip-step stumbles. He just hasn't been the same player as he's going on to tackle there. Now all your short arm narratives are coming through there. But he had a great year until that injury, and he just hasn't been the same. Now he's going up against Nick Benito, who is their sack leader, has been a beast. You saw him strip sack Josh Allen last week from an end around. This is what he specializes in. This is a match made in heaven for Benito. His half of a sack, just to get one sack, is minus 150. It's a little juiced. I like it, though. I'm combining that with Denver over 3.5 sacks. I think there's going to pressure him a lot. That's minus 130. I like Nick Benito to get a sack, and I also like Denver Broncos over 3.5 sacks.
Love it. Yeah, I mean, them getting around, and it's on the road. It's going to be tough to hear the snap count. An edge rusher, you get that jump. Mile High is going to be rocking. Love that. We teased some of these long shots in the leader market. CJ, you mentioned Marvin Mims. I assume if you like him for the ladder, you can get him 30-1 here at the circuit to lead the day in receiving yards. I'm going to try Little Jordan Humphrey, 65-1. Again, Little Jordan Humphrey, anytime he catches the ball, I'm going to be excited on Sunday. And Evan Ingram. I think there's a real world where Evan Ingram emerges as the guy. I think there's a lot of unknowns in the Denver passing offense. Evan Ingram's 100-1 to lead the day in receiving yards. Little Jordan Humphrey, 65-1. I think those are some fun long shots. Kramer, any leader stuff? And
great pick on Evan Ingram. You know, I gave out the ladder. So the top of the ladder is 28-1 for 80 yards.
Yeah. If he gets 80 yards, he's in the mix.
Well, that's what I mean. So the price difference between where his ladder tops off and where we're, you know, I guess this assumes that one of the big dogs is going to end up with a monster day, but I don't know about that. The Rams Seahawks game being lower scoring. I'm with you. What single shot, Evan Ingram leading the day at 100-1, and why not stack it with the quarterback? Now, the price earlier in the week was Stidham plus 860, got down for 6-1 at the window. So clearly taking some action on Stidham to have the most passing yards.
Yeah, that's a fun one too. Again,
well, it's more. Here's my thought is, what if the Rams Seahawks game is lower scoring?
It's divisional a third game. It makes sense.
So absolutely.
You're basically going heads up against Drake May at 6-1 potentially.
Yeah. No, we all know those stats and trends of the second time they play each other, usually it's a lower scoring game. That didn't happen here, but maybe the third game is the lower scoring.
I am 100%. Ignoring the past.
Yeah.
CJ. No, I do 100%, but you're right. The value is with all the Broncos. That's why I do love Mims at 30-1. And when there's only two games, it's not like you have to keep a narrative, you know. You can't diversify it too much. You have to be like, you know, you think this is going to happen? You have to shove your chips in, go with that. That's what it is. And we're all in on Stidham, apparently.
That's great advice. In years past, I would go overboard in the Super Bowl prop market, but back before we had these great props every week. Yeah. And I would end up with all these different things. Now, I agree. Like, I'm putting, for these big games, all my eggs are going in one basket. Now, in the case of the Broncos, it's a lot of large payout eggs going in there. So hopefully the basket doesn't break.
Well, again, I think that's where you can find some value. Lean into the unknown. We don't know if Jared Stidham is going to suck or not. If he doesn't suck, he's going to drag one of these receivers, right? And it's just kind of finding which one it is.
It's strange how much I'm fairly confident he's going to have a better game than Drake May, which is insane.
Remember when Drake May was the MVP? What happened?
Right.
He certainly hasn't looked great.
No, he's not. So now we lean into the unknown. That's the quote of the show so far, Sean.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Lean into the unknown. CJ, giving out some props. Yes. What about the sides itself? It seems like you're on the Broncos with us, I would imagine, catching the four here at Circa. What about the Rams Seahawks game? What do you like for the sides there? Or any? I know you're a totals guy. Kramer won't allow us to talk totals on this show, but I think we can make an exception. What do you like for the games themselves?
Yeah, we can put totals out in Front Street. There's nothing wrong with that. It's 2026 for crying out loud.
Exactly.
I, of course, have, like everyone else on this network and everyone else on the Twitter gambling Twitter sphere, I have to tout that I have plus 5.5 in my pocket, of course, with Denver Broncos. I totally see the Patriots winning by 6 or 7 in overtime or something.
And
all the Broncos money getting wiped out. It just has to happen that way. But no, of course I'm on Denver. But now with the Seattle Rams game, it's very interesting. I know the Sharps are on the Rams. I'm on Seattle. I've been on Seattle all year. One of my biggest banks this year was the Seattle-Jacksonville division parlay. But what's been interesting with the Rams are, now the Rams have been the best team in football, I believe, all most of the season. Seattle right below them, but they were 1-2, 1-1A if you want. And ever since there was 10 minutes to go in that Thursday night game, when the Rams were up 16 points, ready to win that game, Darnold throws that interception, and they're ready to win that. As soon as Rashid Shaheed brought that punt back to the house to score a touchdown, that ended up flipped, and then that whole craziness happened, the Rams have literally just not been the same. They've been leaking oil. And it's not just the last two playoff games. I mean, these are real signs. The Atlanta game, even the Arizona game, when they wanted to win, it took a while for them to get that thing going. And it's been the offense, shockingly. The defense has kept them in it. And this Seattle team, I mean, they're a wagon. The only thing that's really stepping in, the only hindrance you have with Seattle is just, will Sam Darnold mess this up, which he does in big games. I think a lot of it is him in big games, but also I think a lot of it more is just him under pressure.
Yeah.
And if they can hold off the Rams under pressure, I think Darnold will be just fine enough for them to win the game. And then when they're running the ball, when Seattle could run the ball, there's no one close to them being as the best team in football. And I think Kenneth Walker, I think he's going to, I don't think the coach is going to hold back on him, especially since he's a free agent. They're just going to run him into the ground. And I like Seattle here, -2.5 at home. That home crowd is a legitimate thing. They haven't had a real playoff game at home. I mean, obviously last week you saw how loud it was, and that Niners game was over within 10 minutes. So I'm going to take I like Seattle here at home to get it done. Cause I think we just think the Rams are going to flip a switch. Like, oh, we're going to get the Rams best game. I don't know if it's going to happen. So
yeah, Seattle
is going to play well.
They were only able to flip that switch a couple times against the Bears defense, which, obviously not very good. So I think,
it's a close game. Why not take the Seahawks, who have the number one special teams in DVOA? And that's been a real pain point for this Rams team. Again, that game swung on the punt return for a touchdown. Obviously, Seattle got off to that great start with the kick return for a touchdown. The line is suggesting it's going to be a close game. To me, if it is going to be close, having great special teams, having the home field edge is going to be huge. And you mentioned the pressure. Darnold under pressure is not good. And that's why it's good news that Charles Cross is cleared for this game. We got that injury news, which is huge. I mean, if they were trotting out their third string left tackle, I would have to kind of look at the game as a whole again.
I think both home teams' advantage for being at home is being disregarded this weekend. That's how I feel about both of these games.
CJ, if the Broncos make it past the New England Patriots, any chance you can find yourself on the Broncos in the Super Bowl?
No, and I hope they lose by 40, just like the 80s when those matchups. I kind of miss those old Super Bowls when teams were just absolutely slaughtered. And if New England wins, that's what I hope happens to them. That's exactly what their fans deserve. Like the old Niners Chargers game when the line was 19. It won't be that big.
That was a great.
No, I think Denver has a very good chance this week for the one game bump, but then you give 2 weeks off. That'll be a different situation.
Sean, we made a lot of money. Seahawks 43, Broncos 8.
Oh, that was a great Super Bowl. Hey, when we return, we'll go full in-depth pick, prop, everything. Rams at Seahawks. Big thanks to CJ Sullivan. Bottom line bombs. More SGP when we return.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sackett, Money Kramer, with my partner on picks, Ryan Romani Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
There's some good energy. I just made the old sprint across the circa. People are good vibes out there, considering not a heavy slate of sports in the book.
Yeah, no, good vibes, certainly. And of course, reminder, if you're not a VSiN Pro, you're a VSiN amateur. Get in on the VSiN Pro, and they got a big game offer for the big game. That's right, $60 off the annual subscription in honor of Big Game 60. Save $60 when you head over to VSiN.com, subscribe, and use our promo code. Only our promo code, Human's promo code, doesn't work. You got to use SGP. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. You get the daily best bets, betting splits, full data access to the tools and the data. And Again, if you have not played around with the tools over on VSiN, they do a great job, and love the Opta AI projections. Very fun, very good tool for the props. And let's see. Yeah, I like I like a lot of the stuff. I'm on board with a lot of what they have, including the Jared Stidham. Opta AI likes his over passing attempts. I could definitely see them going over there. But again, plenty of good reasons to get in. VSiN.subscribe, promo code SGP. Kramer, what are we looking at?
NFC Championship, 3:30 p.m. here on the West Coast, up in Seattle. Again, it seems like a lot of glossing over the fact that we're dealing with two of the greatest home edges in the NFL. And Seattle, their home edge is so important to them that they were willing to pay a hefty licensing fee to the Texas A&M Aggies to use the 12th man. I did see honorary captain. I didn't mention this for the Broncos game because it's going to be John Elway. But for Seattle, former Hokie great Cam Chancellor from the Legion of Boom, honorary captain. They're laying 2.5.
Now, do they have a big drum? What do they have? They have something that the guy does. Like,
don't they light a thing or?
They light a torch.
There's like a 12th man
thing. I'm sure Seahawks fans are mad at us.
But he's going to be on the field he's not doing, I don't think he's doing that. I think he's just going to be out on the field. Very imposing presence. Basically flat 2.5s everywhere. If anything, they're juiced to the Rams side. 46.5 is the total. As we broke down throughout the show, it does very much seem like this is more of the pros versus Joes game in the weekend, in my opinion.
Sharps are all over the Rams.
I think predominantly sharps on the Rams. I think a lot of us on the Seahawks, although I have heard, like, I do think the TMZ take on mainstream media, and shout out to the hot take engines, God's Eye in our office. We have 8 TVs. We keep an eye on everything. And they love the whole, not good enough to win the big one. And then you slowly ramp up to, is Sam Darnold elite even if he wins the Super Bowl? And so I think the narrative is Sam Darnold's going to choke. And so that's the one thing that has a little bit of a hiccup for me in terms of this being a totally public side. Because I think people are going to look at Stafford versus Darnold. They're going to look at Darnold versus the Rams. They're going to look at Darnold in big spots in general. I've seen the EPA graph going around of Darnold versus the Rams. Not good.
Yeah, and Darnold has thrown 6 interceptions in the 2 games against the Rams.
And so what was their record in those games?
1-1.
Okay.
So, yeah, you could use that as a positive. For me, I just look at this situation spot. Like, this Rams team has to be running on fumes. This is their third straight road game. And they're coming off an overtime game, and they have one day less of rest. They started out in L.A., flew all the way to the East Coast for Carolina. That was a game they needed everything to get that gun. They fly back home to L.A., then back out to Chicago for an overtime game in cold weather. All this while Matt Stafford's dealing with a ham injury. And then you're going up the Pacific Northwest. Like, you couldn't think of like a rougher travel schedule for an older team at the end of the season. 3 straight road games. Meanwhile, Seattle had a bye and then a blowout. They've been cruising. They are comfortable. Let's just start there. And dome teams outdoors. Since the merger, no indoor team has ever won a conference championship game on the road outdoors. So 0-15 straight up all time. Now, maybe they get the cover. I'll happily take Seattle here laying the 2.5. And I mentioned in the previous segment, you get Charles Cross back. That's huge for them on the offensive line. You don't have to worry about the left tackle falling apart, and certainly helps keep Sam Darnold clean. And the number one in special teams DVOA. Like, special teams could very well matter here. The Rams, of course, fired their special teams coach, I think, after this last Seattle game. So I think this is a good spot for Seattle here, facing a very banged up Rams team on the road. There's only been like 5 teams in NFL history who've won 3 straight road playoff games.
My New York Football Giants,
they were one of them. Yes.
I think the weather, unfortunately, won't be anything to write home about to cause maybe more pause on the dome team going outside. Of course, the Rams did just take care of business in Chicago, but it expected to be high 30s, no real wind, no precipitation. Great angle bringing up the assistant coaches, because it was Sean McVay's first fired coach ever in his tenure. He's been there a long time. So for this to be the first time he's fired a coach, which brings up a great point about his assistants. They've been awfully distracted over the past couple of weeks with interviews, second interviews. And at some point, I refuse to believe that that doesn't take percentage points away from your preparation. And so I also think that's an element. And the last thing I'll say is Sean McVay versus Mike McDonald is an evolving situation that we don't know. They're 2-2 right now. You know, great offensive mind. Everyone gives him credit for that. But Mike McDonald is the bright defensive mind in the league. And you hear the way his players talk about him. You hear the way that Leonard Williams talks about wanting to play with his friends, essentially. And so I think the defense, at the end of the day, I think the defense for the Seattle will be the difference. I don't think Sam Darnold loses the game. And I think we'll see a similar game plan to last week, where maybe Darnold isn't asked to throw the ball 35 times. And it looks a little bit more where they're going to continue to pound K9. They're going to look maybe shorter stuff. And I think the defense wins the game for them. Special teams is icing on the cake to me. And I told you back on Sunday in our recap show after the Bears-Rams game, I think it's disrespectful to not give Seattle the full three.
Yeah, and this is the first time in NFL history now, certainly, or at least since they started the wild card round, where a team has made it to the conference championship without covering either of those first two games. I think there is something to that because just eye test watching those games, there was a real chance the Panthers won that game outright. There was a real chance the Bears won that game outright. So it's not like the Rams have been cruising, and I think they kind of run out of gas, man. Like, it took a lot for them to even get here. I think this Seattle team is well rested and they're just going to put it on them at home here.
Well, and that trend is also kind of derived from the fact that how often is a wild card team, like road how often favorites. are they road favorites? How, you know, that there's a lot of interest. You know, we've only seen a couple times where we have these dominant five seeds because they were just in a great division with a team that wins 13 games. And yeah, I will say the one area where I am willingly being blind to the idea that Sam Darnold has not. Like, the Rams are one of the two teams that Sam Darnold has struggled against in his career. I just think the team is good enough without it. I think we're going to see the Rams get held down. I think that's why some of the leader stuff is fun for the Broncos, because I do think this ends up being a little bit of a blowout. And you can find me playing the alt, Sean.
Yeah, a couple of props toss out I like for this game. Give me Matt Stafford over 35.5 passing attempts. 6 games in a row now where he's gone over that. I think there's a good chance they're playing from behind and they have to rely on Matt Stafford. And again, I feel like a lot of games, even if they're up, it's probably because they're able to throw on the Seattle team and have some long methodical drives. If they're playing from behind, he's going to be throwing a ton. So Matt Stafford over 35.5 passing attempts. And on the other side, leaning into the Cooper Kupp revenge angle, his passing yards are set at 29.5. I think you can, the over 2.5 catches is a lot of juice. I'll just take Cooper Kupp to get 30 receiving yards. Again, he's been a big part of the offense here these last few weeks. Kramer, any props jumping out at you?
I'm with you on the Cooper Kupp angle. I got a paper ticket in front of me. I'm also, like I said, I'm on the alt. Seahawks minus 10.5 is plus 320 here at the Circa. I also was discussing with, we'll have Adam Rosenberg on later, but we were talking about largest lead in this game being over 13.5. It's one we often talk about come Super Bowl time, whether you like that or the 3-under answered scores better. I'll tell you the largest lead 13.5 is like minus 115. The 3 straight scores is like minus 160. So I'm going to play the largest lead as well. And then, I don't think I have, I'm trying to remember if I have anything else of note from this game prop wise. Let me pull up my notes. Oh, Kenneth, that's right. The running backs in the receiving game. We know that this is a way you attack Seattle's defense. So Kyren Williams number 13.5, 14.5. That's playable. I like the over there. And then Kenneth Walker, 3 for 44 in the first game against the Rams, 3 for 64 in the second game against the Rams. He went, I think, 3 for 44 last week. His number's 22.5 this week. I'm going over there and I'm taking the alt over 40 plus 270.
All right. No football tomorrow, which means we got to bet on something. College basketball joining us on the line from the College Experience. Just hit a juicy money line dog on ECU. I'll tell you all about it. Colby Dan, College Experience coming up next.
We'll be right back.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
I'm excited to get a little college basketball card going for tomorrow.
Yeah, bunch of Saturday games, and here on the line, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, from the College Experience, Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. What's happening, Colby?
What's happening is we got, Utah State on the comeback, and we got over 100 games tomorrow. So, I mean, it's a good time to be alive.
It is. Great time to be alive. I asked Colby, what should I do? He said Utah State minus 5.5. Didn't look good early, but now making a comeback. So hopefully we get that home here. Colby, bunch of games as always here on a Saturday slate. I'll let you start. What game do you want to break down first?
I mean, the one that stands out to me most is that they moved a lot of these times up, by the way. So that's something note. But the Carolina-Virginia game is one of the ones that was moved up. North Carolina at Virginia, historic rivalry there. This one's in Charlottesville. I think that number's off. I think Carolina is live to win that thing on the money line. And I just think, you know, they match up well against Ryan Odom. Has done a fantastic job at Virginia for year one, the former UMBC coach who knocked off Virginia. But Hubert Davis in Carolina, I think, kind of getting a bad rap because that West Coast trip, I know Cal and Stanford aren't known as basketball juggernauts, but it's just a tough spot. They lost both those ones out there. If you take that away from their season, this is still a team that beat Kentucky at Kentucky, knocked off Kansas at home there in Chapel Hill. So, I mean, I think the team is pretty good. And specifically with this matchup, what I like getting the 7 points there is, what has Virginia done great so far this year that has made them such a good team within the ACC? And it's rebounding. All right. Well, Carolina's a top 25 rebounding team. So I think, and I remember asking Hubert Davis at ECC Media Days about this, and he said, that was my mistake last year. I went out and I spent money to get rebounding. And to me, that's going to be able to keep them in this game. If anything, I might even think they have the edge rebounding against the Wahoos there. So getting 7 points, I think they're battle tested. It's not a far trip. I think they're live on the money line. Give me the heels.
Yeah, and good eye there on these games moving up as well. I'm with you. Take the take UNC and the points, and I'm with you. I think they're live. You can see the money line floating around plus 250. Kramer, you had an angle related to these snowstorms and maybe looking to take the dogs with the idea that maybe these home courts won't have lit environments because people are trapped or can't get to the game or scared to go out and get trapped at the, you know, whatever it is.
So, yeah, I think the further you get from naturally cold areas, Minnesota, these people know how to deal with ridiculous cold. It's what they live in. But you get further south, you start dealing with areas where, I mean, I went to school in Virginia, and I can tell you that a little bit of snow shuts down everything.
They don't know what they're doing.
And so, I love the idea that some of these, you know, Colby loves saying places are lit all the time. I think there's going to be a lot of less lit places due to the weather.
So you call it dim environments some of these places.
Someone needs to throw some gasoline on the fire. I am going against a lot of home spots over the next couple days with the weather.
So you're on UNC here as well, right?
Also, there's a
UVA,
natural.
You always fit.
I have a natural allergy to playing the Cavaliers, of course.
Nebraska, Colby, been a great story. They haven't lost a game yet. They're on the road at Minnesota, laying points here as a road favorite. What do you make of the Gophers here?
I mean, this is like the Indiana story, but in basketball, right? I mean, 19-0 now, 19-0 Fred Hoiberg. He could run for mayor. I mean, he is the mayor, but he could run for governor right now. He could run for governor there in Nebraska because their football team hasn't been so hot ever since they joined the Big Ten. They have Michigan on deck, and now they got to go to the barn, a sneaky good home court environment there, especially with Nico Medved, Minnesota. You know, Medved, year one coach coming over from Colorado State, and he's from Minneapolis. And I know the record doesn't scream, hey, this team's improved. They're 10-9, but they are. All right. They are a much better team than they've been in some years. they've just had some tough beats. They had Wisconsin hit that deep three against them at the barn. The Ohio State game we just saw a couple days ago where they had three chances to win it in regulation. They lose it in overtime. They've been chippy all year long. They probably should have beat USC when Musselman and everyone played there maybe a week ago. So I think they're alive here at the barn. I keep waiting for Nebraska to have the human experience. Hoiberg's been great at these halftime adjustments. It might be here as you're caught looking at that Michigan game early next week where you say, hey, everyone's been saying Michigan's the best team in the nation. Nebraska sitting there 19-0. Oh, forgot about the Gophers. So I like the Gophers to stay within this game. I'm going to play this one on the money line because I'm just waiting for the human element here of Nebraska tripping up.
Yeah, it does feel like eventually it's going to catch up with them. And Ryan, you mentioned Minnesota. Maybe they know how to get to the stadium here, even if they end up getting a bunch of snow. I'm with you. I'm taking the home dog and the Gophers. Kramer, you're skeptical. It is scary to fade this Nebraska team right now.
We were sitting in these seats.
Yes.
Not a week ago.
Yep.
When we were getting influenced by the man sitting in the window here to fade this Nebraska team because they're going to get got. They're going to get got this time. No, thank you. I've learned one thing about college basketball courts. When they're elevated, it's meant to be a theater stage, not a basketball court. Give me Nebraska laying the points.
Colby, we got to talk about America's game, Army, Navy on the hardwood. I'm always a sucker for a dog in Service Academy games. Do you think, what do you make of this Army Navy game taking place at Annapolis?
Yeah, let me just window wash this one for you, Kramer. Look, I mean, Navy's having one of the best years that I could, like, since David Robinson, the Admiral, played for them. And look, 14-6, and even their losses, I feel like some of their losses have been very close games. Veteran team, they brought back a ton of production. They're in the Patriot League, but this is a crazy rivalry game. Army's getting double digits, and Army was terrible out the gate this season, but they've kind of played much better lately, 5-5 in their last 10. I know Army's not great. Bob Knight and Coach K aren't back there in West Point, but getting double digits in a matchup that's a rivalry game. Last year, once again, single-digit game, and a lot of this players for Navy are still on this team, so why shouldn't it be here? You look at Army, to me, the guard play there with Ryan Curry and Jackson Bell, and the fact they're so battle-tested. Remember, Duke went to West Point earlier this year on Veterans Day. They've played some really good competition. I think they might even be a little bit better in their record. So give me the points in a rivalry game. We saw it with Ohio State tonight, and I made the mistake of taking Michigan. But the rivalry game factor, I like them to stay within this number. Let's go Black Knights.
Let's go Black Knights. I'm 100% with you, Colby. Again, Service Academy, I always look to the dog, and they don't have Super Bowls in college basketball, not yet at least. But I think this is their Super Bowl. Like, what other game is Army? Are you going to be getting the best effort? And yeah, I get it. Navy's a better team, but Army's unloading the tank, pun intended. Give me the Army Black Knights catching 11. Kramer?
Big asterisk with the home edge, the home court dim lit factor.
Yeah, not applying it here.
Oh, these military kids don't have an option. And I'll happily lay the points with a very unpopular Navy squad. 90% of the bets and the handle currently on Army. Good luck with your public Army side, guys.
Oh, of course. You can't fade the Army, Ryan.
I'm sure everyone's watching it, except for certain members of the college football broadcast team, like Kurt Herbstreit. We know he's anti Army Navy.
He should tweet out. Would be a great day for some college basketball. Colby, we got to talk about Kramer's Virginia Tech Hokies. So he locks into the show. I sit in the office with him all day. It's Hokies this, Hokie that. They've had some backbreaking losses coming, you know, buzzer beaters. Of course, they beat Syracuse. Nice win for them as a dog. Big game for them at Louisville. What do you make of the matchup?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a premier matchup, and the ACC is way up as a conference compared to last season where they were just terrible. And a lot of the reason is teams like this. Louisville's a lot better than they were. Remember the Kenny Payne era, and then the Hokies, Mike Young, going out, you know, getting Avadalis there from Greece, and just a great, just the whole roster is vastly improved. I like the Hokies in the points, though. Mike Young's team's, look, I know they've had some heartbreak hotel this year, but on the road, they have been good. And I always like Mike Young's teams catching points on the road. So going into to Louisville, you know, Pat Kelsey, good coach, rah-rah guy, but I still feel like, you know, he brought in the talent. It hasn't delivered as much as we thought. And when I look at Virginia Tech, I know they have some youth, but they're also an old team as well. So I think they'll be able to stay within this number. They shoot the three ball really well. They can pass the ball. They're very unselfish. They got multiple shot creators. I think the Hokies stay within this number there.
Yeah, I'm with you. KFC Yum Center will not be rocking. I'm with you. Take the Hokies and the points. Kramer, what do you got?
I mean, since they left the tropics or wherever they were, the Bahamas, they've not been out of a game all year. 12 and a half points is crazy.
Way too many points. Of course, make sure you check out the College Experience, picking every college basketball game against the spread. Find them wherever you get your podcasts. When we return, Adam Rosenberg in studio. More props for the conference championship game. Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.